Well, good morning. Glad to see you guys here this morning with your smiling faces and hearts open and ready and minds alert and awake, ready to receive the word of God, ready to be transformed, amen? Ready to get a word from God in your heart and apply it to your lives and see the goodness of God on display all this week, amen? Linda, Linda, me and you, we're pretty excited about this. Whole rest of these guys, I don't even know where they're at today. They are ready. Linda and I have talked about it. We agree you're ready. Yep. You just haven't said it yet. It's in their spirit that's ready to come out. So we're just being silly. But we're week four of equipped. Equipped. Anyone remember the Greek word yet? Hey, you got, wow. Avery, are you in college or something? Wow. Katartizo. God wants to equip you. God wants, I brought back one of the other slides. We got just a few review slides, but I brought back one of the other ones because that definition is so good. If you've read through the Bible, well, someone came in this week and said, you know, I was driving along and I heard on the radio and they were talking about being equipped, and I had a whole new appreciation for that word. I know what that really means now. And it sounds like a good word, and it's a good word. But when you see just what's all packed up in the Greek with it, what the real meaning is, like the fuller meaning, it's so powerful. And I hope that you guys have been encouraged. Hope that, like, the goal of this is to strengthen and encourage the church. That's part of the role, to train, but also to strengthen and encourage. And so hope that you're strengthened and encouraged. So this is our text that we've been operating off of. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 has kind of been the core of where we're at. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good to do his will, working in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a prayer. It's a prayer that was prayed 2,000 years ago. It's a prophetic prayer. It's a prayer for anyone reading the book of Hebrews, right? It's a prayer for you. It's a prayer for you. It's a prayer for you. It's a prayer for us. Right? And it's the heart of God wants to see us equipped. And so what does equip mean? Well, we did this a couple, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. And it's the Greek word katartizo. And it says, all the yellow stuff is what originally just says equip. I replaced the word equip with all the yellow stuff there. Now may the God of peace make you sound and fit. May the God of peace mend you, repair you, restore you, fill you up with everything that is lacking. May the God of peace supply whatever is needed and put you in your proper condition and complete you with everything good to do his will. Does that not sound like a good package? That sounds like when you go to the car wash, you got the basic package, then you got like the level up with the undercarriage, whatever, and then you got the supreme deluxe, ultra supreme, right, whatever it is. This sounds like the ultra supreme deluxe package of equipping, what God wants to do. And this is, like, it's great to define this, but you got to remember, this is a prayer that has been prayed for you. This is the heart of God for you. Hey, church, be with me today. This is the heart of God for you. I'm talking back row to front row, all the way from Mickey to Minnie, right? So it's a joke. Yep. Every one of us that has a heart that's following Jesus, this is a prophetic prayer written 2,000 years ago that was prayed and is still producing fruit and results in lives. Amen? And all that stuff that we just read, how many this morning you need to be made sound and fit? How many need to be mended? How many needed to be repaired? How many needs to be restored? Filled up with everything that's lacking, supplied with whatever's needed, putting me in the proper condition and completing me. Man, sign me up for that. Because I tell you what, day after day, it's easy to see my own brokenness. It's easy to see my failings. It's easy to see what I'm lacking in. It's easy to see what I'm short on. But this is the prayer this is the heart that God has for me. He wants to see me filled up, repaired, and equipped for just supplied with for whatever I need to do. Anyone ever have a job that seems like it's too big for you? Anyone ever been married or had kids? Anyone ever had a work place? Do you ever work with people? Right? Some days you're just like, I don't know how I can do this. Right here, God wants to equip you. He wants to prepare you. He wants to supply you. This is all review so far, but this is what we did last time. Now may the God of peace, and we just dimmed out some of the rest of the verse so we can focus on this equip part. May the God of peace equip you with everything good. And this was our premise from last time. If you ever been to the doctor and Taylor, when he was, how old were you when you took a swan dive off the couch? Like 10, 9, 10, something like that. We still don't think we got the whole story on this. Somehow Taylor's like, I fell off the couch and broke my arm. So it wasn't at our place, or he'd still be grounded, but he was somewhere and went off the back of the couch. I think there's probably more to the story.
There is not.
No,
story.
Just
no,
you were there.
Lame. So he broke his arm. Well, when you're at the doctor, right, and we talked about that last week with Aspen with her little cactus thing in her foot that the doctor had to cut out, it doesn't feel good when the doctor pulls out a knife, right? In the moment, you're like, whoa. And sometimes when God is equipping us, mending our nets, repairing us, fixing us, sometimes he's got to set that broken bone, right? Sometimes he's got to carve out the thing that's causing us ill and pain. And that does not, when I was real little, I remember it. I was at Grandma Snaza's. And I don't know why there, but I was sick and I had to have penicillin. And there was two of them. And one was okay, but that other one, it just made me puke. And it was so bad. And so you guys left us. You just didn't even care about us. And you just left us. And so I had to take my penicillin at Grandma Snaza's. And it was horrible. It was good for me, but it did not feel good for me at the time, right? And so that was the question from last week. Do we really think God is good? Are we convinced that God, well, we can say it, huh? God is good all the time, right? Until in that moment where God's purging us and fixing us and mending us and equipping us, it doesn't feel, it hurts. Oh, he's ripping this garbage out of my life so that I can be moving fully on with the Lord. He's equipping me. Ow, that hurt. Don't do that anymore, Lord. He's like, I'm answering your prayer. Come on, you want to be equipped. You want to walk with the Lord. And it doesn't always feel good. And I gave you 18 verses that was just skimming the top of what God has given us, or the good things that God has given us. Already, we just did a barrage of verses of where God has given us all of these things. He's good, and he gives us good things. He'll give us what we need when we need it. That was the lesson from last week. So moving on, he's giving us everything good. We're going to read a verse out of Psalm 34. Lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord, what? Lack no good thing. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And that was the prayer, right? May the God of peace equip you with everything good. And way back in Psalms, it says that those who seek the Lord, they lack no good. God's your supplier. God is the supplier. He's the supply source. He's the supply chain we talked about last time. He's not just the source, but he's also the distribution. He gets it to us when we need it. He gets us what we need when we need it. But here's the key. Here's the key, even back in the Psalms. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing, right? Now, I'm not picking, prod, and poking. I'm not just talking about those that go to church. I'm not just talking about those that have Christian on, check the box. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? I'm not beating you up. Come on. This is easy stuff. Those who seek the Lord, those who have their hearts set to seek the Lord. Are we still friends? Okay. Those who have their hearts set, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Those who have their hearts set to seek the Lord lack no good thing. There's a certain group of people that lack no good thing. Those who seek the Lord. So it's we love the promises of God, but often they're conditional. And so that's my prayer all the time for me and for you guys. Prayed it this morning. God, give us a heart to seek you. Help me to want to seek you. Help me to seek you. Help me to position my life. I prayed it, and then someone else in the prayer room, I forget who it was, prayed the same thing. Give us an appetite for the things of God. Help us to not have an appetite for the things of the world that just would fill us up with things that are that are not good for us or just fillers, but help us to be hungry for the Lord. Help us to seek the Lord. Amen? Amen. We good? Those who seek God's priorities will be energized and equipped for God's purposes. So, the question this morning is, what is this katartizo for? How do we connect this to real life? And we talked about in the past different ways that we're equipped for things, but what's the purpose of it? What is the purpose of this equipping? We've been talking about equipping for 4 weeks now. What is the purpose? What is the reason that we're equipped? Just so that you can feel better about you? Just so that, remember, one of the things is mending the nets. Is it just simply so that you're not broken? Well, so in one of the meanings is, you know, supplying a ship for a journey. Okay, so you got a bunch of supplies. All right, great, good for you, right? Is that it? Is that what the purpose is? Well, let's go back to the text and read the next section there. May the God of peace equip you with everything good, to do His will. That's what the purpose of equipping. And just like we saw in the Psalms, me lacking nothing good is a promise from God that's contingent upon my heart seeking the Lord. And He gives us lots of grace to do that. It's not all on us. He gives us the grace to do that. But I still get to be the, I've got the rudder still, right? He's wooing, He's drawing, He's empowering, He's equipping, He's filling, but I still get to decide. I still get to choose. He still gives me autonomy. He still lets me say yes or no thank you. And so if I position my heart to seek the Lord, He promises to fill my life that I'm not lacking any good thing. And then also we see in this verse where this beautiful promise of God's going to mend your nets, set your broken bones, He's going to heal you, He's going to put everything that you need in your life. But really the purpose of that is not just so you can go on your merry way and have a good old time and not give God any other thought or just kind of set your life up how you want it. It's He's going to equip you with everything good to do His will. To do the will of God. Let's read a verse out of 2 Corinthians here. Chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us or urges us on. Some versions say compels us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. I was trying to process this the last week or two. Here's what I was thinking. I think sometimes the reason, just kind of hang with me. This is going to feel harsh, but I think it's a truth that I want to get a hold of in my life. Because how many want to be equipped? How many want that katartizo in your life? Okay, two of you. All right, the rest of you can go home, I guess. I don't know. The deluxe package still sounds really good to me. Like you smell a trap coming, and so you're not going to raise your hands. I get it. I understand. I've been on that side. So we all want that. We all pray for things like that. We all pray for our hearts to be mended. We all pray for our lives to be set on the right path. We all pray for God to give us everything that we need, right? And I was just kind of walking through this process in my mind of why we don't always see that sometimes. And I think that it's largely due, let's find the biggest turkey in the room and pick on them. Okay, so we'll use me. All right? So a lot of times, I find that I simply want to add the idea of Jesus to my life. Just let that just kind of sit there for a second. Like, I like my life, and I like doing what I want to do and when I want to do it. I like the parameters that I decide that I like. Here, Alana, let me tell you something. I like to have the kind of attitudes I want to have. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes Jesus and I disagree on those, which would be most days. The longer I continue trying to orchestrate my own life, maintain my own selfish attitudes that I want, have those kind of things in my heart, right? And just kind of do what I want to do and then lob out the prayers. God, a little help here. Don't you see me? Do you see the picture I'm painting? Yeah. Where God has promised this eternal fire hose flow of equipping to those who are what? Seeking the Lord and ready to do his will. And so when I come to Christ, here's scenario B, which has also been me, hopefully more times than not nowadays, is where I start the day and, Lord, I surrender. God, I am just going to freely admit I've got a lot of desires that are contrary to your heart. Wipe those out. I've got a lot of thoughts that don't line up with your word. Wipe those out. God, I give you my life today. I know you've called me to go do my stuff. I'm going to do my stuff. Help everyone that I meet. Help me to see the good in them and not get annoyed with that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm surrendering to the Lord. I want your purposes. Whatever you want me to do today, help me to do that. Help me to follow your word. Help me to live out your paths. Lord, whatever you nudge, speak to me, Holy Spirit. Whatever you nudge in my heart. I pray prayers like that all the time. Now, that kind of people who's living for the Lord, you've got a guaranteed cha-ching, right? Equipping is coming into your life because you set your heart to do God's will. And it's really, we're in our flesh, we're really good at tricking ourselves. And most of us have ourselves convinced that we pretty much living for God all the time, all, you know, every day, 24/7, you know. And if we just, and this is not meant to be guilt. I'm just saying how sinister the flesh is. That's all I'm trying to do. There's no guilt, no guilt. Just saying honesty. And remember, we're talking about me. Right? And so we just go, I think my motives are right. I think, you know, and then just the Lord comes in and he's like, hey. And he just kind of breathes on it. He's like, how about that one? Oh, yeah, well, there's that one bad one, right? And so if we just surrender our hearts to the Lord, he shows us that a lot of our stuff that we're trying to do is for wrong motives or wrong ideas and whatever. But if we allow God to correct that, what I'm trying to say is surrender your heart and you've got this guarantee of God's flow through you. And that's what this verse is challenging us with. Man, don't try to hang on. So many of us are trying to hang on to the old life because I kind of like that. I just need a few things fixed here. Jesus didn't come to fix a few things. He came to kill you. We have all what? D-I-E-D. Died. Right? Death is on the table for you if you want to be a follower of Christ. The old person is supposed to die, but so many of us are like, still kind of hanging on to this. The challenge today is just be all in for Jesus. And then there's this equipping. So that's what I was wrestling with is why do we not always see this catartizo in our life? And I just really feel like the scriptures would say, man, that catartizo is available. It's available for you when you're ready to do the will of God, when you're ready to surrender your heart. You get surrendered, and part of surrendering is just like, God, I don't have what it takes. He's like, I know, that's what catartizo is for. That's why I'm there to fire hose this thing from heaven right into your life. And you're like, okay. And that's what we saw with Isaac Bene. You know, he's like, God, I don't have anything. And we see him, the Lord, catartizo his life, filling him up with every good thing that he needs, and like fixing his brokenness, repairing relationships, seeing him breathe revival into his home village. Right? It's powerful when you decide that you're going to follow the Lord. Catartizo happens. All right. Here's the next part. Working in us. God is working in you. God is working in you. Colossians 1:28 and 29 says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom that God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Again, just a beautiful vision of what God has for your life. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that, what? Works within me. I think a lot of times we call out for God, and God, I need this, and I need an answer to prayer, when really God's heart for you is catartizo. I want you to be fully equipped with everything that you need for your journey. I want you to be fully healed. I want you to be mended. I want your broken bones to be set. I want you to be capable of doing everything that I've called you to do. But we're praying for an answer to prayer, and we should do that. Please, everyone, do that. Pray. But in our vision of who God is and how he's answering these prayers, sometimes we're just seeing that, Like, maybe God can answer one thing, and I don't know if he even knows where I live anymore, but that's okay. And here's the challenge from the Word of God, that God is working in you. Right, Matthew?
Yep.
God's working in Matthew. See, Matthew agrees. Amen? God is working in you. Right, George?
Right.
Come on. God is working in you. Right, Ray? Yes. God has not forgotten you. He's not picking and choosing six people that he wants to work in, but you'll be lucky if you make the cut one day. Wrong answer. God is working in you. Say in me. God's working in you. God is working in you. And that was the prayer that we read in Hebrews, that God is working in us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 says, "Dear friends, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you." Who's he working in? Okay, I was making sure we're in the right place today. God is working in you, and I love this. You know I love this verse. He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Pastor, how is God working in me? Okay, you said he's working in me. He's working in all of us, right? Here's what he's doing. If you're saying yes to Jesus, if you're yielding your heart to God, here's what God is doing. God is working in you. Doing a multitude of things, but not the least of which is giving you the desire, the want to. God is in the business of changing your desires. Christianity is not just outward morality. It's just not behave better. It's be better. It's not just behave better. It's be better. It's not just do better. It's be brand new. And God is starting on the, every other religion starts on the outside and hopes that the inside gets transformed. Jesus starts on the inside and transforms that and then wants to see the result come out on the outside. But it starts in to the out. Everywhere else starts from out to the in. Jesus starts by changing our desires. And so you've heard me say this many times. I just was telling someone the other day again, God, a great prayer when sometimes you just know you're not in the right spot with something with God is just say, God, help me to want to want to. I don't want to. I prayed that prayer with God the other day. I don't want to do this God thing. I don't want to be like that. I don't even remember what it was about, but I want to want to. My flesh is fighting against me, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to look like that. I don't want to act like that, or I don't want to, whatever it was. But I do want to want to. Are you with me? Do you get what I'm saying? I want to want to. I do want to please God and honor God and magnify God in my life, but I don't want to do what he's telling me right now. So my prayer in that moment is, God, change my desire. Help me to want to want to. So those of you that are all passionate for Jesus, that's God working in you. Because you don't do that naturally. That's the grace of God. It's the grace of, say grace. It's the grace of God changing your desires and then giving you the power to do that. So God not only, sometimes he doesn't always give you the power because he first needs to change your desire. Because we're not mature enough in our spirituality that if he just poured this power in us, we'd be like, right? We're not doing good things. We'd be using the power of God for stuff we shouldn't be. But God is working in us. This is Philippians chapter 2. This is the word of God here. Know that this is truth. You just need to know this morning. As I was preparing this, I just really felt like that there was going to be people here this morning that you need to know that God's working in you. You have no doubt that God works. I felt like there was going to be people here this morning. Yeah, hey, I've got faith. I know God moves. I watch my cousin. Yeah, I see that guy sitting over there. You know, right? Of course, right? We know Curtis, man. He's a man of God. Well, sure, God works in him. But me, I'm like, probably not so much. But that's okay. And I just want to challenge that. I just want to shake that out of you this morning and say, no, God is working in you. Anyone who's a believer in Christ, anyone who's surrendered their life to Jesus, you've got this guarantee from Philippians chapter 2 that God is working in you. So connect with me this morning that God is working in you. believe it. It's true. I can even feel resistance on that as I'm saying it. That God is working in you. In you. Not just the person next to you, not the person behind you, but also in you. No matter where you're at with Jesus, if you've surrendered your heart and said yes, God's doing a work in you. And he's changing immediately two things. He's changing our desire, and he's giving us power. He's changing our desire to want God things, and then he's giving us power to do the God things. When you hear testimonies, a lot of times you'll just hear people that get saved and then just immediately, whatever their stronghold was, it gets broken on their life and they never had a craving for that again. Other times you hear people struggle for a long time with it and eventually God, you know, sets them free or whatever. But I love sometimes those immediate things where God just, like, you just know it's supernatural. That immediately they wanted to, whatever. I don't know. I don't want to say anything bad. They wanted to do bad things. just immediately God takes that desire. It changes their desire. And so that's the promise that God is working in you to change your desires and then to give you power to do that. Precept Austin, one of these theologians says, one definition of grace is that God's grace is both the desire and the ability to do the will of God. So here's a question this morning. Just in this small context, and this isn't, hopefully the answer to this question is neither, but if you're evaluating your life, is your struggle more with God changing your desires, or is your struggle more with, like, want, you know, is it the want to want to that needs help, or is it the power to see that actually happen in your life? Hey, the good news is God does both of those. So it doesn't matter which side of that you fall on, the answer is Jesus. And you can know for sure this morning, part of it is just, you're just analyzing this to say, God, where do I need you to show up in? And God's like, good, I want to do that. I want to help that. I want to nurture that. I want to shift your desires towards God things, and I want to empower you, breathe into your life to see that happen. So kind of the last section here is, hold on a second. Because I don't know if you caught any of this in the verses that we were reading, but we're talking about God working in you, right? Who is God working in? Yeah, he's working in you. There's no one excluded from this. If you said yes to Jesus, sorry, you're opted in. Like, there's no box for you to uncheck where God can't be working in you. You can resist that, but he starts a work immediately. So he's working in you. We know that. That's what we just talked about. He's working in you, but let's read these verses again. A lot of stuff great out here right now. Hold on. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, where we just read, it says, work hard. The command is work hard. You are supposed to work hard to show the results of your salvation, for God is working in you. Who's working? Wait a minute. I thought we were talking about God working in us. We are. Weren't we just talking about grace? Yes. We're absolutely talking about grace. But this is the scripture. Work hard, for God is working in you. You work hard because God is working. Does that mean we're trying to earn something? Absolutely not. That's against the scriptures. That's not at all what we're talking about. But we're talking about this divine, beautiful partnership that God gives us. And it's, remember, I was kind of saying, like, God does everything else, but we still have the, we get to steer the rudder, right? We get to decide if we're following that or not. Well, let's go to that other verse that we read earlier, Colossians 1:28. Paul says, that's why I struggle work and struggle. So I work so hard, but I depend on Christ's mighty power that works within me. It's this divine union. It's the recreation of the garden. God saying, I want to do stuff with you. Anyone ever cooked with your 4-year-old kid? Right? Or you helped out in a classroom? Any teachers helped out in a classroom with small kids? Sometimes doing stuff together, right? Callie's, I stir now? I stir now? Yep. So we get everything all set up so she can grab the handle and stir around. And she thinks she's cooked the whole meal. Right? She's convinced that she made souffle and potatoes au gratin and whatever. And, you know, she's a pretty good cook. And then she'll run and eat dirt. You know, whatever. But just, she's convinced that she helped. Right? And that's a lot how it is with God in us. We're convinced often that we helped. Really, he's looking for our hearts in the middle of it. And yes, he wants us to be willing, and we work this out in our life. But it's really, he's the large adult in the situation that's really doing all the work. It's the grace of God. But we see it in more than, you can go on and on in scriptures and find that symbiotic where I'm saying yes and I'm doing the work, but I can't ever do it on my own. And so I want to just end with a few thoughts on that. Well, kind of end, pretend to end. Sam Storms is a commentator. He says, God's power is not designed to eliminate our responsibility to work hard, but to enable us to fulfill it. Paul is able to work hard because God is working hard. The latter doesn't destroy or undermine the former. What he's saying is it's meant to be this journey where we work together. He goes on and he says, I don't know if this is an overstatement or not, but I thought it was a powerful statement. Virtually every theological and ethical problem can be traced to either an elevation of divine power in a way that minimizes human toil, I'll explain this in a second, or the exaltation of human effort in a way that marginalizes the sovereignty of God. But Paul will have neither. He toils because of God's power, and divine power is released in and through human struggling to enable us to accomplish in our labor what we otherwise never would. What he's saying there is the old adage of, all right, well, I guess I need to do this. I got to do it all. I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm going to get this right in my life, and I'm going to fix this. And it's this idea of God's up there somewhere, so I better make him happy kind of thing or whatever. And I've got to do it, though. But I've got to do it all. Or there's the converse of that, which is, hey, we just were talking about this in men's Bible study. Hey, God's God. God's going to do what God's going to want to do. And I don't, you know, hey, God, just don't talk to me about that. Just say, hey, if God wants to heal them, he'll heal them. If he wants to save them, he'll save them. Kind of just dumping all of the sovereignty on God and that I have no responsibility in this at all. I don't know if you guys remember that conversation at men's breakfast yesterday, and what Mr. Storms is saying is there's this, in Scripture, we see neither of those. And he's saying a lot of the struggles that we would have in life come from either getting lopsided one way or the other. And it's a struggle to kind of keep those in tension. And so C.S. Lewis talks about that a little bit. He says, talking about this issue, what's God doing and what am I doing? He said, you see, we are now trying to understand and to separate into watertight compartments what exactly God does and what man does when God and man are working together. And of course, we begin by thinking it is like two men working together so that you could say, he did this bit and I did that. That's how we want to think of it. It's not how it is. But this way of thinking breaks down. God is not like that. I love this section here. He says, he is inside of you as well as outside. Even if we could understand who did what, I do not think human language could properly express it. So just know that it's not all up to God and I abdicate. Otherwise, we would never pray. And that in some circles, that's kind of what happens. God is ultra sovereign, but I have no responsibility in this relationship. We don't pray. We don't contend for the faith. We don't seek the Lord. Well, hey, if God wants me to be closer to him, then I guess I'll just be closer to him. If God wants that, then it'll happen. Yeah, but he's already revealed a lot of stuff in his word. So there's this responsibility that's on us. Or the other group, look at me. Look at what all I'm doing for God. I do everything for God. God, he doesn't even need to show up anymore because I do it so well, right? And that's way in error as well. So it's this divine harmony. And who does what? We don't, like C.S. Lewis says, we can never really separate who's doing what. But so let's end with this. Just a recap. Our recap is number one, God wants and will equip you, katartizo you. That's God's will for your life. Walk out knowing for sure that there's this fire hose of God's equipping pointed right at you. That's his will for your life, right? Number two, the equipping is for doing his will, though. That's the catch with it all. We want to set our hearts to follow what God wants us to do. Follow his word. Listen to his nudging. Follow his voice. Be yielded to him. And guess what? It's the blessed life that Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. It's the blessed life of doing his will. Number three, that we find out in all of this that God does have a will and a design and a purpose for you. That's an encouraging thing. You're not lost or forgotten. God specifically loves you and specifically has crafted out a pathway for you. And he wants to equip you to do that. And the last one, God is currently at work in your life. Man, walk out of church today knowing that God is at work in me. God is at work in me. You're not just lost and forgotten. You're not just off to the side somewhere. You're not something special. You are. You've got a plan and a purpose, and God has promised to be at work if you've surrendered your heart to Jesus. That's a given. You don't have to ask and beg for it. He's working. He's changing your desires, and he's giving you power to live out that Christ life. Amen? That's good news. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this great group of people. We thank you for the blessing of God that's on their life. I just bless them now with peace. We just pray for no anxiety, no feelings of being forgotten or lost. Or we just pray that in the middle of what you're doing, that people would sense your presence. And Lord, that we just want to thank you today that you're working in us, God. We just bless you today. Thank you for transformed lives and that you have given us a hope and a future. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.